Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Tonight we are talking about The Singularity, episode 18 from season 3, and the first part of the Fallen Agent 4-parter. There's so much to talk about tonight, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the AfterBuzz Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. We are down one agent tonight slightly. He was kidnapped by Inhumans. It happens. They needed him for science. It's fine. Lucky. Don't worry. Lucky duck. For science, right?
For science.
Just for science. Let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. Jesse Klein.
Hi, everyone. How's it going? I'm Jesse Klein. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Joyce Ajuri.
Hey, guys. Good to be back. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at JAjuri. Follow me on Snapchat. I got some behind-the-scenes footage of us here, so see you there.
Oh, yeah. No, fun stuff. You're missing out if you're not looking at Joyce's Snapchat. I can tell you that. And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTV Marvel throughout the night, as well as the live chat once we can maximize that a little bit, because right now all the words look like little tiny ants. But so we are going to be... Oh, there they go.
That's very big.
There they go. All right,
she
great.
She is being manipulated by Hive.
It was a long day. I can't stay with you. No, come back. Anyway, thank you guys. So we will be keeping an eye on that now that we can read it. Oh, and somebody's
Hi,
big
Chris
fan
Robinson.
Of Joyce. guys, as we mentioned, Zach is not with us tonight, but you can tweet him when he gets a chance to watch the episode. You guys, be nice. Don't tweet him any direct spoilers until he gets the chance to watch. But you can tweet at him at that Zach Wilson. Let's go ahead and talk about this. So this is the beginning of a 4-parter, which is kind of par for the course when it comes to S.H.I.E.L.D. season finales. But yeah. I don't think it's ever been as very much set as a unit as this season has made it out to be. What do you guys think?
Yeah, it didn't get a special graphic.
No.
And also, I think they really missed a trick, and they really should have called it Skyfall.
We were trying to come up with a good name for Daisy, not a ship name, but like the Hive version of Daisy, and we got a lot of really good suggestions. Skyfall was, of course, one of them.
I like Skyfall.
Dark Sky, and thank you guys for pointing out that last week Hive did refer to her as Sky.
I know, yeah. We did this week too.
Yeah, we touched on that again. So it's. Now that she's officially corrected him, we should probably move away from the
D-Hive.
A lot of people, Dive was another one.
Dive is good.
Hazy is another one. But I like things along Skyfall and Dark Sky. That's a pretty good one, too. Ew, no, Skyward is not the best ship. Quiet chat. Dark Daisy could work, too. Thank you for that, Shadowbird 084. I think they're hammering home a little bit too, personally, before we get into the real meat of the episode, I think they're hammering in a little too hard that someone's going to die. And we were having a conversation about this before the show started, that it is a very comic book thing to do. But, like, I feel like because they're really, really pushing it and there are a lot of publicity stuff going on about it, and it's been something they've been kind of pushing since the beginning of the middle of the season, which is a weird way to put that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm worried that by the time it happens, it takes away from the emotional impact of it.
Like, I wonder which way they're going to go with it, because it's like it's one of those things where they're hammering so much into that, where like if it doesn't happen, like if someone doesn't die, then it's like thanks a lot, Marvel. But if it does happen, it kind of makes this whole like someone's gonna die this whole time kind of corny, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's a classic kind of drama show kind of thing like this. Like, you'll get like the promos where it's like someone will die, and then like in comic books there's famously like one of the Teen Titans will die, which is kind of a famous like example of that type of tease. It's interesting because it can only be someone important to the story. Like, it has to be an original person.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be, like, someone who we've been with for a long time.
Yeah.
Because, like, if it's Lincoln, like, I like Lincoln, but I don't care if he dies.
Yeah.
Like I don't miss it if Lincoln dies. Like, if the same thing is, like, if Fitz dies, like, I'll be very upset and sad. But Lincoln, yeah. It's like, eh.
I mean, it's come to the point for me where... But yeah. It's come to the point with Lincoln for me where I'd be sad if he went. Because I feel like of the two... Of anyone who can, like, help Daisy and bring her back the most, it's Lincoln and Coulson. Because, like, as little time as it's been since him and Daisy have been together, like, I still think he has a huge effect on her and vice versa. So, like, not only that, but I like his character. Like, I'm growing to really... like how he's progressing, even though it's taking a little time.
It's slowly but surely. And we'll get to that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Not to jump into predictions, but personally, based on this episode, I feel like Simmons is the one that's going to go.
Yeah, I feel like just the way things are written, it'll either be either Fitz or Simmons or May. Just because May, especially this episode with May talking about being the one who does the dirty work for Coulson, all of that kind of stuff. I feel like she kind of has some pathos with that.
Yeah.
And then with Fitz and Simmons, I mean, it would be such a Whedon thing to do.
Exactly.
To just as
soon as the couple gets together.
Yeah, you kill them. Like, that's a Joss Whedon. Yeah,
even
there we go. PMP 123. It's a Whedon show. They're famous for killing beloved characters.
And again, Joss Whedon is not writing for this show.
No.
He's just kind of loosely executive producer
credits.
And they do a lot of, like, especially at the beginning of this episode, where everyone's completing each other's sentences.
Mm.
Like, it felt like a Buffy the Vampire episode or Firefly, where it's like, it's such a great way to tell a story where it's like, all these people have known each other for a long time, and they all like each other, and without having to say those words, you can just show it by having them complete their sentence like that, sentences like that.
And that was a very Fitzsimmons thing to do at the very beginning of the series, and we haven't seen them at that level of intimacy in a long time because their relationship has been in such a weird, fractured place for so long. And Jesse, I know you weren't here last week, but we were talking about how last episode it felt like the progression of their relationship felt more natural than it had felt in like a season and a half.
I totally agree with that. I wasn't here last week either. Yeah. I'm glad to know that you guys
100%
brought
agree.
That up. Yeah.
I'm kind of famous for not liking their relationship when they first did it, and I just thought it was, just a little rushed and bad writing, and I really like how they're progressing their relationship now, where it feels more natural and it doesn't feel as rushed, and it actually feels like there's actual tension between the two of them instead of forced tension.
I think I didn't get the whole, like, they're writing May as potentially being someone who's going to, you know, be killed off the show. But if I would agree with you, if between May and, like, Fitz or Simmons, I'd say it's Fitz or Simmons.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let's talk about the way that their
relationship...
I 100%... I know it's really heartbreaking, but let's go ahead and talk about Fitz and Simmons a little bit in this episode, because they're essentially running point on the mission to get to this genetic expert, who's this transhumanist?
Yeah.
Who I'm going to call a Neolutionist for any of you Orphan Black fans out there, because he's the type of person that is messing with human enhancement via genetic experimentation, via technology, via all sorts of other things. Basically just experimenting on humanity to try to advance it to the next level, to transcend our biological limitations.
Hey, sign me up.
Yeah.
I want something.
I want
something special.
There's a lot of precedent for that in the Marvel Universe. A lot of times it is humans trying to counter mutants. mutants, and so, like, pushing what humans can be without having the mutant gene to fight it. But technically, like, Tony Stark is a transhumanist. Like,
because he uses a suit. He used a piece of technology to keep his heart alive when he should have been dead. Yeah.
Yeah. I just like how we were talking about how in any form of fiction or anything like that, whenever there's someone who's like a transhumanist, they always are having a rave.
That's so funny. They always hang out at weird ravey clubs and dance and party and like.
It's kind of like I think of like a group of like what's his name? James like even mentioned it. He's like. Firestarter sounds so 90s, and that's what I thought of when we first got introduced to like that venue with all the transhumans.
It's so weird that in this type of like genre, when there are people becoming like post-human like technology thing, like the first thing is like, let's go dance all the time. you're now a superhero. Like
I would imagine like there are so few transhumans, right? So it's like the very few times you can get them all together, like they're gonna throw an event here and there. Yeah. They're gonna get them to network and to talk and get to know each other, because it's kind of like this is like the dating site for transhumans IRL. Like here's what you got to do to meet everyone.
I just kind of picture Deathlok wandering into a place like this and like being the belle of the ball.
And I know I said this while we were watching, but I thought it would be hilarious if the only way you can get into the club was if you set off metal detectors.
That would be
so. In that case, really Fitz and Simmons would not have been able to like make it in.
That would have been really funny.
That would have been hilarious.
They're like, you're posers.
But like off the top,
wannabes.
Off the top of my head, it's like The Matrix, the second one, Dark Angel. Batman Beyond.
Orphan Black. You're right!
That
wasn't Batman Beyond.
Yeah, just like... just
that's
like
true.
Whenever humans add to themselves with technology or genetics, the first thing they're doing is like, let's pump that techno music.
I'm gonna give myself a tail! Let's party! Woo! Yeah, no, it's kind of ridiculous. Granted, I guess don't knock it till you try it. I mean, I don't know, maybe if you do enhance yourself in some way, all you want to do is party at that
point. I wonder
point.
If they have special alcohol to keep everything, like, you know, lubricated in there?
I don't know. Make sure everything's running well,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I wear contacts, and actually, when I first put them on, my first thought was like, you know, techno music isn't that bad.
You're a transhumanist.
I'm technically transhumanist.
You've used technology to enhance your physical attributes. Transhumanist.
Low-key transhuman.
Yep.
So they're trying to infiltrate this place, and they get stopped at the door by what appears to be a cyborg named Anon.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because even though she appears human, she seems more robotic than human.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just her personality or if she's actually just a robot.
Yeah, I mean,
I would say she's just a robot.
I don't know. I got the impression
like, poor
that
girl. She was a full blown human at one point.
I feel like she's just enhanced herself to the point where she feels like she herself is more of a piece of technology.
It's like beyond plastic surgery.
I think what it is like because they kept talking about like transcending their bodies, and I think in her mind she's transcended her human limitations. Like, so she's just this prim and proper thing now.
Yeah, like if not only is it a philosophical change or physical change, but a philosophical change as well. Where it's, you know, the human body can only take you so far, and that technology is where the future of where our essence, our soul, whatever you want to call it, is, then maybe, like, the less human you act, the more further you are on that path. I thought her arm computer was cool.
Yeah, like, that was pretty sweet.
I was pretty down for that.
sign me up.
Other Marvel fans, like, my first thought, whenever I see, like, a robot woman, my first thought is Joe Costa, who is Hank Pym's robot girlfriend. I thought Anon was a cool character. I hope we see more of her. Like, I thought it would have been cool.
I liked her, too.
Yeah. It would be nice if, like, she just, like, busted down the doors of this inhuman town to go and save the doctor.
Like, she's programmed to, like, make sure he's safe at all, by all means.
that would be cool. So maybe we'll see her again. Although it's leaning more towards no. But yeah, maybe we'll see her again. Who knows? But the main point is that they meet this guy, and to the point where he feels feels the need to play this weird mind game with them when they initially enter into the room.
I called that from the beginning. I
was just too grossed out to like think clearly.
I was like, this has to be the actual like Radcliffe in the thing. It just like it felt like because they were covering his face, and because like it felt like that, but. That was just a really disturbing image, you know, like just to see that eye, pried
he's
open.
He's like staring at Simmons as she's making her way.
Like at no point did they ever ask, "Is this man? Did he give his consent to be operated on?"
I was waiting for whoever I thought was under there to like flinch or like show some sort of fear, but it was just kind of like staring. So weird.
No, it definitely did not look pleasant, but it turns out to be him.
Yeah,
I don't know. He seemed a lot. I mean, definitely he's eccentric, but he definitely seemed a lot more together than I anticipated. Because when they're talking about him initially, I figured mad scientist. And he's definitely a little out there.
I kind of expected a Whitehall type.
Yeah, but he wasn't evil about it. He was just concerned about the science aspect of it. But people who use science to inflict violence for violence sake, he thinks is deplorable.
Yeah, well, his whole talking about blurring the lines between science and art, what I thought was really interesting and like a very like unique thing I've never heard before after pouring through so many comic books and science fiction things, but the idea of like using science to inspire, and that if you not even to see it, and if you do see it, to feel awe when you see it.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a really interesting kind of point of view and an interesting character. I hope we keep him around for a while because I'm very interested in this guy. He's very.
Yeah, I like his point of view. Yeah. He has like a different level of depth to him that like it's refreshing in terms of like, you know, the kind of scientists that we have on the show. They're usually, like you said, evil, but he's got a totally different perspective.
And it's interesting to see somebody who is what looks like going to be complicit in Hive's schemes without actually really being evil himself.
Yeah.
Or, like, being forcibly coerced. I mean, clearly they kidnapped him and they'll probably kill him at some point, but, like, he actually, to an extent, does seem on board on the science aspect of it, like being on the frontier of human evolution.
Like, he would help Daisy if he had the chance.
It looks like Hive's ultimate goal is to turn everyone in the world into an inhuman. It seems like that's his ultimate goal, and I expect that if he can't turn everyone into an inhuman, then he kills all the regular humans and just keeps the inhumans.
You're not worthy!
Yeah, basically one of those.
Yeah, one of those bits.
Because it seems like that's what he wants to do with this guy, is like see if they can recreate the Kree technology that turns humans inhuman.
He wants what happened to him to happen to everybody else.
And he's not like wiping out every human that's in his way either. Because I think in his mind he if these are future inhumans that he is going to create, they will be his progeny, you know, that sort of thing. So you can see he's not just actively trying to create collateral damage wherever he goes. Like Daisy didn't even kill everybody at S.H.I.E.L.D. when she made her escape. She could have, but she didn't.
Yeah.
But to get back to Fitz and Simmons, because we do get this confrontation with our big bads, and it's very, very interesting. But before that, they have a really good heart-to-heart about the nature of their relationship and progressing forward with that. And basically they come to the conclusion that they've both been overanalyzing everything and that they're just going to play it by ear without overthinking it.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that. That was, again, after being midway through the third season, having a will they, won't they, it's like, yes, just get together already.
Yeah, I know. It's about freaking time.
Yeah, I thought it was a good, like, comparing it to the singularity was good.
Yes, I wrote it down.
Was such good writing because it's exactly how Fitz would explain that. And I think everyone's kind of been in that situation where you have a friend of the opposite gender and you guys get along so well. And it's like, do you want to take that step into the void and possibly ruin the thing that you have? Or
point of no return.
Or do you want to explore all of those possibilities, the good and the bad?
Yeah, the singularity, the point at which a measurable variable becomes infinite.
Yes.
I was getting scared. I was like, what is he trying to say? Let it happen.
Yep. But I liked this heart to heart, and I like that they're touching on that because it is a very real human thing.
Yeah.
And it's just something I wish that they had gotten the chance to touch on a season and a half ago.
Well, like they acknowledged it. Like they have so many unfinished conversations, and they finally had the chance to, you know, touch upon and finish one of the most important ones they've been trying to have.
Yep. But then we get Hive infiltrating the place, and we get something we've kind of been anticipating. And it was very, very uncomfortable, but we get this confrontation between Hive and Simmons, as well as Daisy confronting Fitz.
Yeah.
Basically saying, don't save me. And this is what I mean where I think they're hammering it in a little bit too hard, because Hive, using Will's, the vestige of what Will is basically saying, I just want you to be safe. I want to take care of you. I care about you.
Yeah.
We care about you. And Daisy simultaneously is saying, I saw the future. It is in your best interest to just stop.
Yeah.
Which makes me, again, to me, it's hammering home that Simmons is going to be the one that dies.
Yeah.
Because why have this Will conversation with Simmons if that's not kind of what they're getting at?
They're kind of wrapping up a lot of, like, loose ends, I guess, for Simmons. Like, she kind of needed some closure with Will, right?
She did. They didn't have to say goodbye.
And she kind of got that tonight, and she also sort of got some closure with Fitz. Like, they finally did what they've been wanting to do for the past three seasons. And it's like, she's getting so many things that she's wanted, finally, and it's like, only to take her away from the show. That's probably how they're going to do it.
And I mean, I thought that was interesting just because Daisy knows that she can't change the future.
Yeah. Like,
they already had that episode where...
You can't change it,
no matter what.
It is a fixed thing.
Yeah, so telling Fitz to stop was... I thought,
futile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she does have tons and tons and tons of dopamine being flooded into her brain.
Sure. She's high, man. She's super high.
Not exactly thinking straight. But yeah, it is. I mean, but she's also the type of person to maintain that hope and that stubbornness that everybody could get out of it okay.
Yeah, but I mean, is it Daisy speaking? Like, that's the weird thing.
Because
like,
her eyes did look really weird.
Yeah.
It was definitely, there was definitely some things going on there.
Yeah. I liked the way that was shot with seeing both Fitz and Simmons talking to each of them at the same time, and then them saying the same words at the exact same time.
And they're also kind of completing each other's thoughts.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, just kind of falling back on that Hive mentality sort of thing.
And then Mac versus Hellfire, where he's trying to come up with his name. I thought it was super funny.
It's better than Scorch.
Yeah.
Aw.
It is better than Scorch. I thought that was really cool. I'm interested to see, if it's Simmons. I mean, we kind of got a preview of how they're going to get into space for the next week's episode.
Yeah.
I think we know how they're getting into space, and that is some aliens take them there.
Just the Kree. It's no
some blue aliens take them there.
Which, it's about time they've shown up, because we haven't seen one in a good while, and it's time that they own up to their mistakes.
Yeah.
Before we move on, is there anything else you guys wanted to touch on with Fitz and Simmons before we move on?
Simmons shot Ward. That's another thing that she finally got to do. It's like
closure.
She's tying all these knots.
Tying up all my loose ends.
Yeah.
I'm going to live forever.
Oh, no.
I will say, though, I did like that she called him on his BS, basically, because he's speaking as, you know, again, this the remnant of Will,
right.
Like, I don't want you to end up dead like me. And I like that she's the only one so far that's called him out on, just because you stole his memories
doesn't
give you the right to be him.
I mean, that's the scientist in her. I know part of her was, like, hurting, and it was definitely getting to her, but because her and Fitz did the research on what they extracted from Lucio, and, like, you know, she kind of understands
it. She knows that
she's able to block it maybe a little easier than, say, I don't know, Lincoln or May.
She knows that this is a collective organism.
Yeah.
Objectively speaking.
I also thought it was interesting that she shot Ward the same way Ward shot Agent 33. Agent 33. It was like almost the exact same way. And then it appeared that buffalo sauce came out of him.
Yeah. He's just all sorts of condiments.
Honey, maybe?
It could be caramel. It looked like buffalo sauce this time.
Honey mustard goes well.
Yeah, delicious. But I thought it was interesting that she shot him almost the exact same way Ward shot Agent 33. And I think, I don't know, just more on the Fitzsimmons thing, like, I'm glad I wrote Fitz Sexums at the end. I'm glad that they got that moment. I think that will be interesting going on. I think it will lead to either Fitz or Simmons acting not as in control as they could be when one of them is in danger or something like that going in the future.
Yeah, there goes that professional working relationship that they were talking about. All right, cool. So before we move on further, I want to take to you guys a really quick moment to talk to you guys about iTunes. Folks, thank you so, so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, leave a comment. Unfortunately, I can't pull up the latest comments, so we will catch up and do extra shout-outs next week. But I was able to check out that we are at 565 ratings iTunes, which is so close to our 600 goal. Again, if we get to 600, guys, you don't have to hear us sing. We will do that as a separate thing. But again, it really just does mean the world to us when you guys rate and leave a comment. The contest / hostage situation aside, it really does mean the world to us, and we love hearing from you, and we love hearing from our international audience as well. Because we have an insanely large international audience, and that boggles my mind. So if you guys are abroad and you leave a comment on iTunes, please take a screen cap of it, tweet it at us, leave a comment on YouTube, because we love hearing from you guys, and we love hearing where our voices end up around the world.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things, is to see people check in from around the world. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
people from Japan, Brussels, and
Brazil.
It's so, so cool. So yeah, we really appreciate that, guys. You guys are the absolute best, and we can't wait to hear more from you guys. It's fantastic.
Malta, we have a fan from Malta.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on. You touched on it a little earlier with May and Coulson, and in the wake of the base, you know, basically them everybody being trapped at the base. Coulson has a broken leg and is still hobbling around being the director and being out on the front lines, even though he has bones sticking out of him and he has to get around via crutches.
Only Coulson.
Yeah.
I'd be like, excuse me, I'm going to take a month off. I'm going to go on leave. May you take care of this.
But you're absolutely right, because it did bring up this very interesting dynamic of her being, what she said specifically was, I'll do your dirty work, Phil, but don't you dare claim your hands are clean, which is very true. She's always been the cavalry. She'll always be the one to take the
to
shot.
To carry out the tasks.
Yeah.
I was, the whole time Coulson was urging Lincoln to, like, go through with his plan, I was like, this is one of the few times where I really did not agree with Coulson. I was totally on May's side. Like, I don't think he would have asked any of the other agents to do the same thing.
To put on that vest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have asked anyone else. And I understand, like, his beef with Lincoln, but that's not enough for him to be like, here, you're the one that's going to be sacrificed.
Why even allow Lincoln on the front lines to begin with when he is a potential liability like that in the field? Granted, yeah, the guy has a lot of raw power, but he also has a lot of anger issues. He has issues with authority. Mm-hmm. He's very much sleeping with the head of the Secret Warriors.
He's literally
figures. He's a very volatile figure. And now that she's not around to kind of keep tabs on him, he's very unpredictable. And it just seems weird to allow him to accompany them on a mission, even if they really could use his raw power.
Yeah, well, I think it was less about his power in this and more that Alicia
was his friend,
and would trust him. And I think they had a good point that they needed him there for that. But again, like, yeah, if it was reverse and it was Daisy who had to go out and they were worried about her getting infected, there's no way that Coulson would ask her to put on a murder vest.
As
Lincoln called it, yeah.
But also, like, you know, if that vest went off, you know, let's say that happened in the story. Like, if he were around Daisy or if he were on anybody else and the vest went off, like, they could have also been in danger. So Coulson's not just killing Lincoln, he's also potentially endangering anyone else around him, you know, for whatever reason they're there.
And then immediately giving the trigger
to May.
Yeah, and again, like, she has a good point. Like, she's the one who's pulling the trigger on all of these things. It's not Coulson. Except for Ward. Coulson did...
He definitely did that one.
High-fived Ward's chest to death.
With his robot hand.
Yeah.
CPR of death.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised he didn't just smack him with his cool, awesome shield.
Yeah. I think that was made so
energy shields.
That was so cool.
That was
God,
really cool.
That was so cool.
I tried to replicate it on our notes board, which you guys can't see right now. But
I'll take a picture and tweet it out.
It's also on my Snapchat, but it's the saddest attempt
and also
at that shield.
That shield's directly in the comics when... Cap gave Bucky the original Captain Shield. Then Cap had, like, that hard hologram light shield for a while, especially with, like, the Secret Avengers and stuff like that. So to see Coulson have it is really cool.
Well, and I want to, just speaking of Captain America, I want to touch a little bit on something very big that happened in this episode. And I can't help but wonder if that's just to kind of clear things up or kind of make things line up for people who maybe haven't been watching S.H.I.E.L.D. but have been watching all the Marvel movies in terms of Civil War, because of Malik's intel, S.H.I.E.L.D. and you know, by extension the ATCU, have all of the infrastructure of Hydra.
It's gone.
And off screen goes and eliminates it. And so Hydra is no more, and it's off screen. That's kind of an interesting way to go about it, and makes me think, well, it's clearly not the end of Hydra, because nothing, you can't get rid of Hydra.
Even though it was called Operation Decap, short for decapitation.
Yeah.
As in,
we're cutting off all the heads.
I think it's more of a hint at where they are going with the future, where it seems like Marvel is splitting into two different worlds, that with Doctor Strange, it's going to the magic world, and with the Avengers, it's going out into outer space and science fiction, with the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and, you know, the whole Thanos storyline. So it's like I think the only brand that really had a dog in the Hydra fight was Captain America. And it looks like after Civil War, it's going to be in space as well. So I think it was just them kind of being like, look, Hydra's always going to be around, but we need to move on. Which I think is okay. I'd like to see, like, Marvel Netflix take on Hydra, since they're kind of street level anyway. So it'd be cool to see.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
See them fight Hydra.
It's just such an interesting thing, because we thought Hydra was pretty much taken care of the last time they removed all the different heads of Hydra, you know, back when they were using Mr. Bakshi.
But then Ward started his Gap Hydra.
Yeah. Old Navy Hydra.
Yes, Old Navy commercial Hydra. Oh, everyone's wearing white t-shirts and tight jeans.
Chinos.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's just very odd that something that's been such a huge presence in the Marvel Universe for so long is taken care of off screen. You know, it kind of goes out with a whimper, not a bang.
Yeah, that is strange.
So I don't know. It's just a thought. It'll be interesting to hear what other people have to say on it. I don't think, again, Hydra's not gone for good. It never is. But it's still a weird way to sort of sweep it under the rug right before the next Marvel film comes out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they commented on it in the show, and it's such a huge victory. Like, that's such a big deal for S.H.I.E.L.D. But this entire episode was about how Hive was two steps ahead of them in every part of their plan. And so like, even though they got that victory, it didn't really feel like a big victory.
It didn't. And most of the group wasn't present to witness it also. Like, it was just May and Coulson. At this point, nobody else knows what the hell happened.
Yeah. It didn't feel like a victory.
No. There was no impact from it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. That leaves the team in a very interesting situation for the next episode.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys want to touch on with May and Coulson and where their relationship is at right now? Because if we are going with the theory that it's May, they're also kind of very much setting herself up for a sort of self-sacrificing thing. Mm-hmm. I still think it's more Simmons, but they are definitely trying to tidy things up with May as well.
With Phil and Coulson,
Phil and Coulson?
Or Phil and Coulson, Phil and May. But also Coulson was there too. I think it was just like to show the power of Hive, because it's still very kind of like, is it Kilgrave levels of mind control? What type of, is it Professor X? Professor that one guy from those movies? is it like to have Alicia shoot herself?
Yeah.
Which is
intense.
Technically suicide, because the last time one of her dupes died, like
she was catatonic.
Hobbled her. Yeah,
like she curled herself up into a ball and was immobile presumably weeks after that.
And we saw her momentarily kind of react to it, and then immediately be like, I'm happy to sacrifice for them.
Yeah, and that's after two of them died.
That's after two of them died, yeah. And one of them
killed
herself.
That's
yeah.
so weird. I don't think it's quite at the level of Kilgrave. I mean, they're definitely, like, quote-unquote brainwashed or controlled. But, if we're comparing him to Kilgrave, what Kilgrave did was, like, these people knew that what they were doing was wrong, but the people under Hive, like, they're believing that
it really is
what they're
like
doing
seeing
is
somebody
right.
drugged.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. With Kilgrave, there's this awareness, like deep, deep, deep somewhere that what they're doing isn't right, and it's this whole horrible, awful thing. But here, it is very much like they are under the influence
of
drugs.
It's kind of, but it's also kind of like a cult where, like, this is exactly how the world should be.
Yeah.
Like, basically, he has the power to manipulate their brain's chemistry to make him act in the way that they want, that he wants them to act, and to feel the way he wants them to feel, and, you know, and control them via positive reinforcement.
Yeah, and we also see that there's, like, no limit to, like, the range of it as well. Like, he can, like, no matter where they are, like, they were in Australia when Alicia was, you know, fighting S.H.I.E.L.D. So, like, I think it was just a good kind of, like, a way to show off the power set of Hive.
Yeah.
Like, he forced her to kill herself. That's definitely something that,
and she
know.
Says, happy to make the sacrifice.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Ugh. Ruin Time says, happy to comply.
Yeah.
No, well, no matter how you say it, it's weird.
It's really weird.
No matter what form of mind control we're talking about, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of going back to Hive, we get this, and the fact that people are acting still like themselves, but definitely under the influence of, definitely under his influence for sure. We see that so much with Daisy at the very beginning of the episode, because she's still herself. She's looking at him in adoration.
Yeah.
And is definitely
shoulder.
Yeah. And
thing.
Definitely feels like this is the missing piece in her life. But, like, she's still awkwardly going, well, my name's not actually Sky.
Yeah. She's talking about her family.
I don't know why. Like, she literally said at one point, I don't don't know why I'm telling you all this. This is weird. I'm sorry. You probably didn't want to hear that. Yeah. I'll go now. It's like she's still herself enough to feel self-conscious around somebody who, you know, she holds up and is respecting.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, in a way, like, even though this is Ward's body and even though he's got Ward's memories, like, she's still, like, he's still something, someone new to her.
Well, and she says herself, she's like, I'm glad he's dead. And Hive's like, you know, he is too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I, like,
I'm glad you can both agree on that.
Her awkwardness could very well come from just her, like, you know, getting to know someone, and it's just, like, weird. I don't know. It's just such a weird relationship right now.
It really is.
It's so strange.
Just a little bit more on the Coulson and May thing. The Kree artifact that they dig up is the only thing that can stop Hive. So I wonder if it's the only thing that created Hive. If it's like the original device that created Inhumans.
Yeah,
so they're probably using that next week.
Yeah,
it's either something that was instrumental in his creation, or it's the failsafe meant to destroy that experiment if it were to go awry. Which again, both would make sense.
Yeah,
and it's just a matter of whether or not it'll be used to destroy him, or if it'll be used to create more Inhumans. Which, yeah, that definitely looks like that's his plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if it can be used to call down the Kree, which is maybe where we're getting our lead-in for the next episode.
Yeah.
We're running a little short on time. Is there anything else you guys want to get to? Because we do have to talk about a little bit of news and gossip before we get to predictions.
No,
I just real quick loved May's comment on Coulson getting a cybernetic leg.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That was great.
Too soon.
You know what? I think he'd greatly benefit from another cybernetic limb.
Yeah, but now, I mean, Coulson's already a transhumanist.
I know, that's true.
Yeah, they should have just sent him.
That's very true.
He's like, don't let the crutches fool you. I got a robot hand. It's pretty awesome. All right, cool. So, let's talk a little bit news and gossip, because there was some big news this week. They've pulled the Inhumans movie from its release date schedule.
Are they going back and forth with this thing?
Yeah, we had a lot of rumors going around that the release date was getting pushed back, that it had been canceled, and then, you know, Jeff Loeb had said, no, where'd you hear that? That's ridiculous. Yeah. But that never stopped any of these rumors from circulating, and now they've officially pulled it from their release list. That leaves a lot of people going, well, is it canceled? Is it going to take the form of a TV show? Are we ever going to see it?
Yeah, not only Marvel movies, but Marvel Comics as well has really pushed the Inhumans like a lot stronger than they ever have before. They've been really backing up this brand. They've basically replaced the X-Men. And I mean, there are mutant books, but they've really pushed the Inhumans as like the new X-Men type of book, and replaced a lot of storylines using the Inhumans. So my first thought was maybe Marvel's getting the mutant rights back.
Like,
if they're pulling in humans, if Marvel can restart and at that same time start with mutants again, that might be what happens, or they just don't have faith in that brand.
Interesting.
It could be one or the other, yeah, or... And it's hard to say because none of us know what they would have had planned for the Inhuman film.
Yeah.
If it would have been something that focused on the royal family, something more of what we're kind of seeing with S.H.I.E.L.D., where it focuses on a small team of Inhumans on Earth or in space. Maybe they were just feeling like we've got too many things like the Inhumans. Maybe we should just remove it from the docket. I don't know. It'll be interesting, and I don't know if anybody's officially commented on it or if Marvel's released an official statement. It's just not there anymore.
I mean, there are also a lot of rumors that Marvel's getting the Fantastic Four back as well, which would also kind of thing be a thing where it's like they'll push back in humans so that they can do Fantastic Four the right way.
Theoretically do it right.
Yeah.
And again, not to mention that when Spider-Man went back to them, that also shifted the order of things
exactly,
around.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the order of the Marvel Cinematic Universe for phase. Are we in phase three now? We're in phase three?
I believe I'm not Civil sure. War is the end of phase two and the beginning of phase three.
So yeah, phase three keeps shifting, and so it'll be interesting to see where we're at, especially after Civil War happens, which those of you who get to watch Civil War pretty soon, because it opens up sooner.
Going next Thursday.
Yeah, we're going next Thursday, but there are places that are going to get it before us.
Sure.
So people who get to see it before us, please, please, please don't spoil it for us. Mm-mm. And we'll do our best to give a big spoiler alert before we talk about it, because every time a Marvel movie has come out, we know you guys want to hear our thoughts on it, so we'll be sure to talk about it, but we'll be sure to give a big spoiler alert beforehand.
Yeah. And just as a warning, I probably won't be able to see it the opening weekend, which sucks. If I do, that'll be, you know, a miracle. But if I don't,
it happens.
Let's keep the movie information away from Joyce.
And yeah, we will send you out of the room.
I'll leave the room
while the big kids talk about Civil War, and then we'll bring you back in. All right, let's go ahead and move away from news and gossip and dive right into predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Prediction.
We get the Kree back.
Yeah.
Who are they here for? Who called them here? What are they going to help or are they going to hurt?
I'm going to do a pie in the sky prediction.
Yay! Those are the best predictions.
These are the ones that people really like me for. Unless it's something that I've forgotten about, Fitz commenting on Simmons' hands being cold made me think maybe she's dead. And that maybe Hive is in Simmons.
Wait, but then how would Ward still be mobile?
We haven't seen Ward since she shot him.
Wouldn't we be able to?
Yeah, no, he was walking around in the town.
He was.
Oh yeah, he was walking in the town.
Oh god, okay, don't scare me like that, man.
They would have showed him.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, it would be like a thing where it's like, oh, she's been dead this entire time.
She's been dead this whole time, so that whole explosion thing was a red herring.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But since we've seen Ward walking around,
is it possible for him to inhabit more than one dead body at a time, though?
That's a good question.
I mean, he is a swarm. Maybe he killed her just there.
Yeah, all we saw was her shoot him and run away.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know, because there's never been anything necessarily to indicate that he can only inhabit one dead human body at a time.
Oh my god,
weird thing about her hands being cold.
They're very much focused on that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, chat.
But that's really interesting because, I mean, I wouldn't put it past the writers, I wouldn't put it past, like, Ward, because we learn new things about him. I feel like there's so much more to him than just this, and that would be perfect to find out later. That's so weird.
Well, and she said it herself, like, he would say anything to trick her, and one such thing would very much be, I don't want you to end up dead like me.
Yeah.
Alright.
That's weird.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I can't top that, and I don't really have any predictions.
I think the Kree are going to come down, and they're going to be friends, and they're going to save the day.
They're going to be anti-Hive.
Yeah,
they have to be.
I think they're going to be there to exterminate.
Yeah.
But they'll probably be there to exterminate all the Inhumans.
Maybe
not
the
just
person
Hive.
On their team who's going to die is Ward Hive.
But nice.
I mean, he already died, so maybe
he's
not.
He's double dead.
Whatever.
Super dead.
I don't know. Pie in the sky.
Pie in the sky. All right, guys. Well, thank you all so, so much for tuning in to watch tonight. Jesse Klein, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. I tweet out mostly jokes and weird stuff, but sometimes I'll tweet out Marvel things as well. And if you like live comedy, I'm all over the LA area.
Cool. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri. Follow me on Snapchat. I've got some behind-the-scenes snaps of us here on, in the panel. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Again, Zach can't be here tonight, but he, you guys can follow him at That Zach Wilson on Twitter, and you guys can follow me on Twitter at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUAN. I'm also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, and I write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with two K's. Be sure to check those out. Thank you all so much again for joining us tonight. We will see you all next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.